All right, you all know the drill. When your number is called, step forward and repeat the phrase you've been given. Understand? Number one, step forward.
ESPN 97.5. Yeah, come on. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
What up, H-Town? Hey, how we doing? The weather outside might be frightful, but you know what? The three of us are delightful. Hopefully you are, too. It's The Usual Suspects as we take it till 4 o'clock on ESPN 97.5. Nick is here. Barry's here. I'm here. So all present and accounted for, fellas. What is going on?
What up, Pound Town?
What's going on?
All good. This is cold and flu season, so I just want you guys to be careful out there.
Trust me.
The combination of moisture and the cold, it can do some things.
No, that's a lie.
No.
That's a myth. We've discussed this already, Joel, so I need you to catch up on
your... No, I'm not going to, because here's the thing. I'm not taking anything of medical advice from you
from
based
the
on the fact that you got sick for almost 2 months.
From the guy whose wife is a nurse. No, that makes sense.
Right, because it didn't help you.
Yeah, well, it doesn't mean I avoid getting sick, but, you know, when my wife is telling me that the cold weather doesn't make you sick, you know, it's whatever.
If it's wet outside and you
she only has a degree.
And if you get wet and then get cold, it does not help.
It doesn't make you sick, though. See, this is going to be that day today.
Nick, are you going to believe him? Because here's the thing to me. What I'm waiting for is in the next 15 minutes. I'm feeling good, guys.
I feel like he's been better about it. Is he still coughing?
His cough minimum per hour is down to about one.
God, I hope you get sick.
One to two.
I swear to God, I hope you get so sick. I mean, I'm not saying I hope you get HIV, but I hope you get really, really sick now. Just because you're being a jerk about me coughing. That's what you get. That's what you'll get.
No, you're telling me.
No.
No,
it's
you're
too late.
Telling
I'm not taking
me
it back.
Your health. I don't care. Your curses don't bother me. I have a Barry Voodoo doll. I'll just start sticking pins in it and put it right in your throat and your nasal passage.
Oh, my God. My throat.
And you're going to. Yeah.
What are you putting in my throat? That's weird,
a pin,
bro.
So that I can hear you go.
Oh, a pin. Oh, I'm having a rough day with the headphones. This is awful.
Well, let me just say something. The only thing close to the amount of time you've been sick in the last 2 months has been the amount of time you've been screwing with your headphones.
I got to get new headphones, man. They don't charge. They don't charge anymore. And then I got to use these raggedy studio headphones.
Oh, headphones
this is
Nick.
What we do to our guests. This is what we put them in because this is terrible.
I don't have nearly the headphone break. I don't have nearly the technical issues that you guys have. So I don't.
Wait,
I don't
you guys.
Know.
I don't have any headphone issues.
Oh, y'all can never hear me in the talk bag.
Oh, that's your fault.
Yeah,
that's totally your fault.
Yeah.
You got
Barry's
weak,
always
you
got headphone issues.
It's I don't. Just,
I mean, the batteries die. What do you want me to do?
Why are you roping me in? I said, you're healthy. I'm healthy. I don't have headphone issues. You don't have headphone issues. You're going to make it you guys.
Yeah.
Y'all
okay,
don't fight
and the next time
the
you
kids.
Give me a cue, I'm going to hear you go.
I'm fighting.
Five, two.
Y'all don't, not in front of the kids, guys. Not in front of the kids. I don't want to. They're going to be upset.
You got. Yeah. In about 5 minutes. Thanks, Nick.
Did you? There wasn't a lot going on last night, was there?
No, nah, college basketball was on, but not.
Yeah, so not.
Not from a sports standpoint,
yeah. Dude, I did. I went to. I have acting class every Monday. And it was weird last night. So we were supposed to. Our assignment for the class last night. He gives us a sheet and talks about what we're going to do, and it's basically trying to tap into your emotions.
Don't need to tap that. It's already flowing.
Well, no, like it was supposed to be, you know, something kind of emotional and sad, not emotional, like charged up and angry, but just. And I was like, oh, there's no way I'm gonna be able to do this, bro. I did my little. I cried like a baby. It was amazing. I was like, well, I know I'm an easy crier.
What'd you do, the cat?
No. Dante, my foster brother, passed. And so I just basically had a conversation with him, and oh, my God. I was like, this is insane. So you guys be nice to me, or I will cry on command. Like, I've now
torture
know
the
I
hell
can,
out of him today, Nick.
I now know I can cry whenever I want, so I will do it.
All you had to do was ask us. I mean, we could have told you that.
Not that kind of crying,
oh,
Joel, with tears.
Got
not,
it.
Not whiny baby crying, you know, like you do.
Yeah,
just
right. Me.
With
okay.
tears.
Yeah.
With actual tears.
Okay.
So. Yeah, that was interesting, but I didn't get to watch much because I was in class. But I don't, you know,
Yeah, I don't even know that I watched much TV last night. So, I mean, I know that I watched Florida State Duke, the end of it. And then, oh, you know what I did? And I take that back. I watched the Bucks game because Giannis wasn't playing, and my buddy Dan is the PR guy, and we were texting back and forth during the game itself on some things that happened. So I did watch the end of that, and that was it. You watch any sports, Nick? You didn't, right? There was no sports going on.
I didn't watch any sports last night, no. I didn't watch anything. I didn't think there was anything that I really wanted to that caught my attention. I mean, the Cougs have been playing some decent basketball, so I will get into college basketball. I plan on going to the Cincinnati game on March 1st.
Well, that's going to be a big one since the last time those two teams met up in Cincinnati. Yes. That was the Bite game.
That was a good game. So I want to go see that one in person. That's probably when I'm going to really get into college hoops. So I'm going to start off by going to my alum, the Cougs versus Cincinnati, March 1st. I'll be there.
That's nice. Now, name me the two high scorers for the University of Houston.
I couldn't tell you.
Okay. I'm going to be at the Tulsa game.
I'm going to tell you good something times. Right now.
Aren't they on the road? Tulsa's
home. Tulsa's on the 19th. I'm going to be there, hanging out with the peeps.
That's a good product to watch.
Yeah.
I totally believe in you. Obviously, you know that I'm friends with Kelvin.
Yeah.
But I just, it's a good.
Can we stay friends of the show?
Yeah, Kelvin Sampson's a friend of the show, and he's built that program. He's brought it back to respectability and more. They're top 20 right now.
Yeah, with that win over Wichita.
Yeah, so they're playing good basketball. Deshaun Giroux got the one game suspension, didn't bother them as they came back and they beat Tulane and they beat walloped Wichita State, which I mentioned yesterday was a team that everybody, including the ESPN announcers, were saying was the cream of the crop in the conference and should be the team you look out that could make a run in the tournament. No. I think you got the wrong team because the Cougs, like I said, there is no substitute for a team that plays defense every single night, and that's what they do.
Mm-hmm.
So it's fun to watch that team. And so, yeah, you can't go wrong going to watch. Great new venue. Nick, you love the Fertitta Center.
Yeah. When I went for the first time last year, I thought they did really well with making that venue intimate, and you can really hear the crowd noise in that venue. So they did really well with making that venue for Cougs basketball. Fertitta did a really good job.
That's a new trend now in college basketball. It used to be that all the universities were trying to make a statement by having the biggest gym. And now they're going back to more intimate settings because they know it's louder. It's a more raucous environment.
Yeah.
It creates more of a home court advantage. Texas is downsizing on campus now to get a smaller arena. I watched last night, and it still amazes me. It's on my bucket list of things to do. But watching a game at Cameron Indoor when Duke plays at home, literally, the broadcasters are at the roof of the building.
Really? They moved them that high up, huh?
That's where they are. For TV, they are at the roof. But literally, when I say the roof, it's only like a 1.5-story venue. And my buddies that are scouts for the Rockets tell me, like, it's crazy because they don't have a press seating area because it's so small. Like, literally, they'll give them tickets. And you're sitting there amongst the crazies and how loud that environment is and everything like that. And it's
almost like overflow media, but it's just that's how they do it for everybody.
It's just a true spectacle to go to a game at Cameron Indoor. So I really went in
a bucket list, right?
Yeah, the college kids to get the student section, you have to stay overnight. They call it Krzyzewskiville. They pitch tents and they stay overnight
really?
For like over 24 hours to get tickets.
Wow.
It's like the true back in the day type atmosphere still, but that's what makes it cool and special.
That's pretty dope.
Yeah. So if you ever get a chance, you got to go to a game at Cameron Indoor. I hate Duke, but I would definitely want to see a game there.
This will be my first time going to the Fertitta Center, so I'm pretty pumped.
Looking
about
for
it.
The report from you. Yeah. I have yet to be there as well, but I'd like to get there to see them play. And I got to check. I think, has Memphis already been here, Nick? Because if Memphis hasn't been here, I definitely want to see Memphis with Penny Hardaway.
I think they played, but I don't know if they played in
I think
Houston,
they played at Memphis. If Memphis comes here, I definitely want to see that game. So, okay, so we've got plenty to get to. Rockets hosting the Celtics tonight. Going to be a big game. Small ball versus a Celtics team that has been on quite the roll lately. So it's going to be a good test from an Eastern Conference team, and it'll be the last game for the Rockets before the All-Star break. So as we talked about, just like we set a barometer at the start of the year before we passed judgment on the Rockets and how they were going to be after 25 games, now after the moves, we said, at least I put a stamp on the fact that after the All-Star break is when I'll really be passing a judgment on if this style and system will work, if they get a chance to work with Robert Covington and others during the break at some point. But they're going to have 9 days off after tonight.
They kind of need it, especially guys like P.J. Tucker who have been banged up all year.
Heart and soul of the team.
But Tucker's been banged up, and, you know, Harden plays a lot of minutes. So I think this is coming at the perfect time for this team.
Yeah, for sure. I think that's right, and a good test before they get to the break. So lots to get to as we get rolling on the show. And if you want to join us, you're always welcome. Something on your mind you want to get off your chest? HRNP Listener Line is the place to be. Text or call 713-780-3776. You can also hit us on Twitter, where it's at the producer Nick, at Pac-Man Joel with a K, and at Barry is funny. We are the usual suspects, just getting started on ESPN 97.5. And before we head to the break, I do want to tell you about the good people at Infuse Energy. A lot of people are always looking to switch their energy provider. They're just not getting the right service or definitely not the right rate. That's never going to be the case with Infuse Energy. I made the switch 3.5 years ago. I just re-upped with them, and why wouldn't I? They saved me thousands off my previous energy provider's bills year to year, and they can do the same thing for you. A lot of the suspects have signed up with Infuse, and they're extremely happy. They're locally owned and operated, run by Josh Pesikoff and his staff, and they got the ratings to prove it. 5 out of 5 stars on the Public Utilities Commission of Texas. That's the best you can get. And all they want to do is make sure that you are happy with your energy provider and get the best rates possible. That's why when you call 844-INFUSE2, 844-463-8732, you're going to get a human being on the phone, not an automated system. They're going to ask you as many questions as you ask them, and their sole goal is to make sure they get you the best rate and the best price they possibly can. You mentioned ESPN 97.5, you get a $25 bill credit off your first bill, and they'll go from there. They'll make sure you're satisfied, and in the rare cases when there's another company out there that can beat their rates, they're going to let you know, because they're always going to be 100% honest and like a trusted friend. They're going to be there in the end. That means you may not go with them this time, but you'll come back and you'll go to Infuse because you remember that they were honest and upfront, which is so rare in business. Check them out also on InfuseEnergy.com, but better yet, call them 844-463-8732. It's affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Infuse Energy into your life.
Stay up to date with the latest innovations hitting the city of Houston by visiting innovationmap.com or follow them on any of your social media platforms. Just search Innovation Map. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, just getting it rolling on The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. As I mentioned, weather not good outside. We are all inside, ready to entertain you in your day today. Lots of stories surfacing. And, of course, the story that won't go away is everything, again, around baseball. With the Astros cheating scandal, baseball trying to change the playoff format, which we'll get to at some point. But as we mentioned, now that pitchers and catchers and select players who show up early are starting to show up for spring training, you're going to get different commentary. We're waiting on what's going to happen with the Astros themselves, but most of it's been negative in the form of what comes out concerning the Astros and the cheating scandal. But very interesting, Joe Musgrove, a pitcher on the Astros 2017 team, now with the Pittsburgh Pirates, was quoted as saying today, "If Major League Baseball investigated other teams as thoroughly as they're investigating the Astros, they're going to find a lot more than they want to find." That leads you to believe, again, everybody's doing it. And it's just, you know, it goes back to the Will the Thrill comments, Will Clark, when he said, hey, everybody's doing it. It's just some teams are better at not getting caught. But again, now I give you that, fellas. And then I'm going to give you this. Marwin Gonzalez reported early for Minnesota Twins spring training. And he expressed regret, remorse, apologized, and said, "I'm remorseful for everything that happened."
You're remorseful because you got caught. No one's remorseful until they get caught.
Wasn't it when you were looking at all the stats?
He was one of the guys
that capitalized the most.
Yeah.
So that's a situation where, you know what? I don't think you can say you're sorry, but your bank account's not sorry because you got that massive deal from the Twins in part because of it.
Yeah, you ain't that sorry.
Right?
I agree 100%. People usually are only sorry when they get caught. That's it.
So that brings us to this.
It's a fact. It's not a knock on Marwin.
No.
That's just human nature. If you're doing something wrong and you know it, and you're good, first of all, you're doing something wrong and you know it, but you're not upset about it. You don't stop and be like, hey, this is wrong, we're not going to do it. And that's not why they stopped, by the way. They stopped because it wasn't effective. It became a distraction. It's not that they were all got suddenly, got a conscience collectively and were like, oh, this is wrong.
Because I'm trying to put it into terms like, say for us. Say we just go on this run as a station and we're killing the ratings. And as a show, we're doing fantastic. But we know that along the way, there's some way
a hypothetical.
We're manipulating the system, right? We found the meters or we're doing something. And while we're rolling, everybody's getting along, having a great time, celebrating victories, being on top of the world. And then all of a sudden, it starts leaking out. And you're like, now what?
Yeah.
That's basically where we're at right now, that they've been got. And it's now who's going to like be the Andy Pettit and who's going to be the Roger Clemens.
I agree.
So on top of that, now baseball is talking about tinkering with the playoff format.
I saw that. I don't know how I feel about this. I kind of like it. Even though I'm a traditionalist when it comes to baseball, and I'm not necessarily a baseball purist because I think the DH should be in both leagues. I think there should be an electronic strike zone. There's things that I've been banging a drum for since I've been in sports talk radio for 6 years.
Just banging garbage can, it's easier.
Oh, that's... Yeah,
you're welcome.
That's well done, my friend. Give me a little fist bump there. Mm-hmm. But... I don't know that I'm necessarily opposed to this, and the reason that they're doing it is because of revenue. They're trying to increase revenue in the playoffs and TV deals. And you want to tell the people what we're talking about specifically? Did you see what the specific format was?
So yeah, I mean, they're still tinkering around, and all the details have not come out into the media, but they're talking about almost a reality TV like format at the end of the season where more teams are going to get into the playoffs, and then the best teams are going to pick the opponents that they want to play against in the first round. So more teams that maybe are in a tougher division, like Buster only keeps bringing up the Padres. They can never win the division because of the Dodgers, but now they got a better chance of getting in. Or the Blue Jays, because of the Red Sox and the Yankees in previous years, might have struggled. Now they might have a better chance to get in. So you get small market teams or teams that are kind of the victim of a certain division have a chance to get in, but then they're going to be called out on national TV. And I was kidding, doing a video with the guys for Sports Map before the show about the fact that, you know, which team gets the rose? You know, which team wins the reality TV lotto and doesn't have to play the Yankees, Dodgers, or whatever, Astros. To me, baseball is a game that has survived so many things because of the purists and the people that love the game, how it's been for years. The most exciting time of the year for baseball is playoff time. Don't mess with it. The only thing I would say that I would do with the playoffs
people
is...
People said the same thing about the wild card.
Well, what I would do is I would make, instead of a wild card game being one game, I would make that series either best of three, best of five, simply because of the fact that I hate the fact that a team busts its ass, gets into the playoffs, and then it could be one and done. Give them a chance and still give some space between to where it doesn't affect pitching matchups for either side, and the team that is sitting there waiting is obviously going to have their rotation stacked up.
Well, here's what specifically the plan was. The division winner wins the division winner with the second best record would select its wild card opponent from the three wild card winners not hosting a series. The division winner with the worst record would then choose its opponent from the remaining two wild card teams. Now, obviously, the best record in the conference, the best record amongst division winners gets a bye. Mm-hmm. So, division winner, second best record, selects its wild card opponent from the three wild card winners not hosting a series. The division winner with the worst record then selects its opponent. The final matchup would pit the wild card winner with the best record against the wild card team not yet chosen. So you don't. It's the wild card. So basically, the wild card team with the best record is going to play whichever of the other three wild card teams didn't get chosen. So you have the right to choose.
But it's gimmicky. That's why I don't
like
it.
It is gimmicky. But so was the DH when it came out. So was the 3-point line. So was the wild card in any sports. Remember in football, in baseball, everyone was like, we don't need a wild card. That's crazy talk. And now the wild card gives teams hope. And what this does is it makes teams, they're in it longer. You look at the Rays. The Rays won 90 games a couple years ago, didn't make the playoffs because of the current system, but would have had one of the better records in the National League, but they had to sit home. This means the Rays are in and have an opportunity. This means that baseball in these markets, that you care about it all year, as opposed to if you're not in the top two wild cards, you don't care.
And I get that. But then, you know, you can look at what the NBA looked at. Then just get the top eight or however many teams regardless, if you want to get that way, that's what the NBA was looking at a couple years ago. But when you get this gimmicky with reality, no, they don't. Right. But I'm saying that what I don't like is that, again, that you're going to take a team that bust their ass all year and they only play one game and they could be done, whereas you should reward those teams that did fight to the finish and actually did do something to get in. Now, I don't mind making the playoff format bigger, adding a few more teams. That's fine. I just think we could do without out all of this bachelor or bachelorette drama of reality TV and who you pissing off by picking and how you're doing all that stuff. And to me, that's just stuff for the XFL or for you know, teams that doesn't have the tradition and the history and the stats of baseball.
The Cleveland Indians won 93 games and didn't make the postseason last year. They would have been the third wild card team.
So I said I don't mind expanding.
And the Red Sox won 84 games, would have been the fourth team. And they were 12 back of the wild card. So 84 games isn't great, but the Mets and the Diamondbacks each won 86 and 85 games. They would have been your other two wild card teams in the National League. I think I don't mind it because I think there are some good teams that get left out. But it's all about giving people a rooting interest further through the, because let's face it, some of these teams in baseball, when they're done, they're done. But there's some that might be close, like the Red Sox. Why wouldn't you want to be able to root for that team all the way through to the playoffs?
Well,
I'll tell you who wasn't a big fan of it, Trevor Bauer.
Well, I was just going to say, you mentioned the Indians before he got traded to the Reds, but there's a guy that called the commissioner a clown.
Yeah.
In the process of all of this.
His tweet, no idea who made this playoff format proposal, but Rob is responsible for releasing it, so I'll direct this to you, Rob Manfred. Your proposal is absurd for too many reasons to type on Twitter and proves you have absolutely no clue about baseball. You're a joke. Well, at least Tyler held back, right?
Boy, when does he these days? I mean, this guy is just, he's a loose cannon running around all over the place. So, yeah, he was definitely not pleased about it, but it's obviously not set in stone, but it'll be interesting to see how baseball reacts. If they make a decision on this before they make a decision on the Red Sox, I'm going to be pretty pissed. I'm just going to tell you that. That's just as simple as I can say it. But we'll see what happens as baseball looks to revisit their playoff format.
Hey, guys, the University of Houston men's basketball team, we were just talking about them. They're facing the Tulsa Golden Hurricanes in their next home game at the Fertitta Center, 8 p.m. Wednesday, February 19th. I told you guys I'm going to be there. Come hang out with me. Cougars looking to avenge their 63-61 loss inside the Reynolds Center in Tulsa on January 11th. And look, redshirt freshman guard Caleb Mills leads the Cougars 13 points a game, looking to become only the second freshman in school history to lead Houston in scoring for a season. You got sophomore guard Nate Hinton tops Houston almost 9.5 rebounds a game also. Cougs have only 3 regular season games left. If you have not been to the Fertitta Center, you've got 3 games left to get there. Why not start right now with me on the 19th? Check out that Tulsa game. You can take advantage of UH's special right now for the Tulsa game and buy tickets for only $20. All you got to do is call 713-GO-COUGS, 713-GO-COUGS. That's 713-462-6647. And don't forget, after that Tulsa game, there's only 2 home games left. Cincinnati and the one Joel said he wants to go to, that Memphis game. That's on March 8th at 11 a.m. Give him a call right now, 713-GO-COUGS.
This is Heisman Trophy winner and College Football Hall of Fame, Mike Rozier, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Back on The Usual Suspects, just a half hour in, 3 hour show, ESPN 97.5. It's Barry, Nick, and Joel in the studio. Talked a little bit about the baseball now as players are reporting. If you do want, and I can retweet this too, but if you do want Marwin's full quotes, he basically was very apologetic and said, I'm here to talk. I wish I could take it back and do it differently, but there's nothing we can do. It's hard to speculate. I still think we had one of the best teams in the last decade. Great talent. Hard to measure whether it made a difference. You just have to play ball. That's hard to know. You're never going to know. It was a great team. Great guys, too. It's hard to answer that question. You're not going to get to the bottom of it either unless one of these guys really just spills the beans on how they were doing it and who was doing it.
Of all of the Astros not named Mike Fiers, who do you think will be the one that writes the tell-all book?
I still, for some reason, Dallas Keuchel's name keeps popping into my head.
You think he was scorned the way things ended?
I do, because that's what you have to look for. You have to look for a guy that's got an axe to grind with a team that they want to ring with. Like, who got rubbed the wrong way enough to say, when it's all said and done, I'm not going to do it now, but at the
it'll be a pitcher?
No, well, I mean, but you know why?
Because
they can also wipe their hands clean of it, going, look, I didn't do this.
So you think, well, I mean, I don't know if Keuchel necessarily has an axe to grind, because at some point you have to realize that it's a business. And so you make decisions as a player about money and whether to go with the team or not. And just like they make decisions about money, whether to go with you or not as a player.
Sure.
I think if you want to look at an axe to grind, look no further than Tyler White.
Yeah,
they were on him about his weight, and then they didn't help him when he said he had a medical issue. They ignored it. He's a hitter. He was probably in the thick of it because he was buddies with all those guys. That might be a guy that at the end of it all writes a book about the Astros and his time there and what a bad organization it was because of his medical issues plus the cheating all around that same time.
It's another interesting name to bring up. The thing that's amazing to me is...
because he was here during Osuna, too, so he could write about that.
But you also have J.D. Davis and other guys during that same era that probably thought they deserved playing time or thought they were trying... And they came out and said, if they were using it, I didn't notice it. So you're going to get – everybody's going to have their own take on it. And, of course, it's how knee-deep were they in playing, not playing. But I think that at the end of the day, if someone else is going to come out and spill and tell all and tell more, it's going to be, one, I think, a pitcher because they can say, I didn't have anything to do with it. And, two, it's going to be someone that feels like they got screwed over by the Astros.
Okay. The pitcher angle is interesting to think, oh, well, I didn't benefit from this, but here's what happened. But I would want to hear from someone that was in the thick, that was in the dugout while it was, because you could almost dismiss a whole book. Bro, you're over in the bullpen. You have no idea what we're doing over here. You think you did, but you have no idea. But well, Tyler White was in that.
Starters are in the dugout when they're not pitching.
True, but that's every fifth day. And, you know, I just somebody that was there every day. That would be interesting. And listen. A guy like Alex Cora can make a lot of money writing a book because he cheated twice.
God, yes, absolutely.
Think how much money that dude would make cheating twice?
Yeah. Yeah, you know, you're absolutely right about
especially that. Especially if you're not a Hall of Famer. If you're a potential Hall of Famer, Jose Altuve will never write a book.
No.
Because he's going to – but you know, if you're not – Tyler White's never going to make it to the Hall of Fame, so he doesn't have to worry about talking about cheating. You know, but I'll be honest. I don't know – well, I would have never thought Mike Fiers was a snitch either, but I just don't know. I wouldn't think that a guy like Alex Cora would write that book because he's not a snitch, but Tyler White,
same thing.
Man,
you know what he's going to start thinking about? If he gets suspended for life.
Money.
Yeah, and how much money he's out in terms of the millions and millions of dollars he could have been making. But he could do a tell-all book, and you can only imagine how many people are going to want the dirt that's going to be in that book. You're not going to be very well liked, but that's also doesn't matter when you know those checks are going to be deposited in your bank account on a pretty consistent basis. That could be something that spurs someone on. Someone who's scorned by the game or by the team. Because here's the other thing that we got to keep in mind. Now that we saw the first player come out and say that they're going to file a lawsuit against the Astros, he's not going to be the last player or entity that's going to try and come at the Astros. And the thing is, it could be good and it could be bad.
Yeah.
Because it could be guys that start exposing, oh, there were other teams doing this, and this is what they were doing and they were doing, and then the Astros look better. The problem is, it could also start exposing players because as the lawsuits continue, you're going to have lawyers digging and trying to find out so they can tell the real story to prove how bad it was. And then whether baseball chose to do it or not, players are going to be associated with this. Names are coming out. And now you're going to talk about reputations being tarnished.
Yeah, from a player perspective. Yes. And further, I mean, I mentioned yesterday Maradu and yep. what he was telling yep. me. And when these lawsuits, if they continue to happen, because he's talking about entities, not players. He's talking about external entities outside of baseball suing baseball. So if you're going to do that, now you're really going to start exposing things. You're going to start exposing players and other cheaters, too, because now you're going to go and, hey, well, look, it wasn't just the Astros. It was these other teams. And when you start really digging like that,
Well, if you're talking about two, think about this. Because it's going to be people that are going to need to lawyer up. And when you lawyer up, you're going to have to obviously fund that with the right finances to get the right team together. No one can say they were scoring more than sponsors. Mm-hmm. So if you're going to get sponsors that come on board and go, look, when I signed on with you guys, this was what I was hoping to accomplish, but I didn't expect to be roped into this whole negativity.
Well, I wish – so I don't know that it would be sponsors that would sue. It might be people affected by the game that would be sued or that would be suing. But maybe it is. I mean, it might be a sponsor who feels like that now their reputation is tarnished also by being associated with it, but I don't know.
I retweeted Radu. I had one tweet last night where he said, this is coming.
Yeah, that's – He had a really good dialogue. I suggest you go follow him and read it because I think he's working on this story, and I think it's going to be a pretty big deal.
It could definitely be because of
I said, get it written, come on the show.
Sure.
And let's discuss it because I think it'll be interesting. Yeah,
that would definitely be interesting to see. Ooh. So
somebody said, what about Evan Gattis as a possible tell-all book writer?
I think he was so well-liked. They gave him an extra year that he probably wouldn't have had anywhere else. I think there were too many good relationships.
Yeah.
The guy that is the purest of baseball. You think about the guy that got
Brian McCann.
Yes.
Yeah, but
Brian McCann was a guy that if you even tried to celebrate going around the bases, by the time you got to home plate, he was in your grill.
But that's why he wouldn't do it. He is such a purist that there's that unwritten rule of you don't snitch on your teammates. You don't what happens in the dugout and the clubhouse stays there. No way he writes that book.
It'll be interesting. And Verlander, too, when he has to talk, because Verlander's another guy that's been so opinionated on so many topics and been a baseball purist, but yet he was at the Pebble Beach Pro-Am this last weekend. I don't know if you saw his hat or not, but in the rounds he was playing and he was in the thick of things, his hat was like, it looked like Chanel number 5. It just, no one cares.
Oh, nice.
So he kept no one cares hats on all week.
Really?
Yeah.
I think
people care.
Yeah. Somebody said maybe Cora writes a if I were to do it book like OJ.
Yeah.
That's not bad. Yeah. If I was going to cheat, this is what I would do. I'd get a trash can. I'd get some monitors.
Not saying that I would, but when I set that camera up, when they set that camera up in center field.
You better have a really good editor.
Yeah.
Because just in case you actually talk in first person.
Right. Yeah, so it'll be interesting to see now, like I said, with everybody heading out to their respective spring training sites. The media is going to be there. They're going to be there in force. They're going to be obviously paying attention to the Astros. Bregman already tweeted out he was already on his way to Florida, so he's probably going to get ahead of it and be out there before anybody else. So if he wants to beat the heat to some degree and get it out of the way, he can. But it's going to be no matter if you're the Angels or the Giants or the anybody in the Astros, whoever the teams are going to be, one of the first questions you're going to get when there's a media availability is going to be your thoughts on the Astros scandal and then how it affected you.
Which is exactly why they went and got Dusty Baker. I'm telling you, there's no other reason why that cat is here right now. It's just to fade the media.
It's a rental just to get them through. So, we'll see what happens with that. But that's definitely coming because by Friday, pitchers and catchers report for the Astros. Other so teams pumped. Already there. So baseball is on the horizon. So keep an eye on it and be prepared. It's going to be ugly if you're an Astros fan.
Yeah, it's going to be annoying for like the first 3 months.
Yeah.
So
and God forbid if they don't play well.
that's the concerning thing is if this team does not do well this year, obviously you have the built-in distraction that you can blame. Hey, well, look, with everything going on, we were really distracted. The media and it wore on us. But at the same time, no one outside of Houston is going to care about that. They're going to be like, see what happens when you can't cheat? Yep. You guys suck.
Yeah. It's
almost like if they don't get to a World Series.
The good side is if you win, it cures everything.
Yeah.
If you lose, boy, are you going to be in the crosshairs even more.
That's a lot of pressure for a whole ball club.
Especially when you lose the best pitcher in baseball.
Yeah.
And you got a new GM who hasn't got you a replacement. All right, we'll continue to roll on. We got some Rockets to talk about. Nick's going to be at the game tonight. It's the Rockets and the Celtics. It's the last game before the All-Star break. Let's break down a hot Celtics team that kind of plays small ball against a team that's going to be living small ball for the next couple of months. We can talk about that. We can talk about anything else you got on your mind. 713-780-3776, HRP listener line, call, text. Hit us on Twitter, Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
You can now listen to all your favorite shows on the Amazon Echo.
Oh, sweet, dude.
Just say, Alexa, open ESPN 97.5.
Now playing ESPN 97.5.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Back! Usual Suspects, first hour, three-hour show. Let's get into it, fellas. Rockets tonight at home, final game before the break, hosting a hot Boston Celtics team. A good test for this squad before they get some rest and hopefully get Robert Covington up to speed. But because it's been hot and cold and everybody's got an opinion, obviously since they made the trade to send Clint Capella to Atlanta and bring in Robert Covington, they have been they're 1-2. A lot of people kind of passing judgments one way or the other, and obviously the big win right off the top against the Lakers got people excited. But since then, it's kind of fallen off. And we said, look, give them some time. Got to get Covington acclimated. See if they're going to do anything else. We haven't seen Caboclo yet.
Who?
But this is going to be a good test for this squad.
It is always unfortunate when you see a move being made by a team, like when they went out and got Covington, and then that player comes in and has a great first game. Because I think as fans, and I'm not just going to say Houston fans, I just think fans in general, you look at that and go, ah, well, he's going to do this every night now. And that's just not going to be the case. You know, you'd almost rather see them go Alex Bregman and go, you know, 1-for-40 at the plate before they really take off. That way, expectations are low. Because I think after that first game and the big shots and the block shots that he had, and everyone was like, well, Covington's the man. Like, this is going to be, this is their third star. It's like, ah.
But wait a minute.
He was coveted at the trade deadline.
Nick, you're there the other night against Utah. He comes up big in the fourth quarter. Again, PJ would have been the hero if Bogdanovich misses the shot. But Covington would have got a good share of love, too, because made some big threes down the stretch when they needed him.
Yeah, he had a good...
Just didn't shoot well.
Yeah, he had a good shooting...
Percentage-wise,
yeah. But he had a really good timely three-pointer that he's talking about in the fourth quarter that was really huge. And honestly, that should have been the three-pointer that allowed him to win the game had it not been for that amazing three-pointer by Bogdanovich late in the fourth quarter. But no, he had a timely three-pointer. He was struggling at the beginning. But I still think he shot 30 or 40%, if I'm not mistaken. It wasn't a terrible shooting percentage from three-point land. But he just had a timely three-pointer in the fourth quarter. If he has the confidence to do that, what, one or two games in, there's the potential for him to do that later against better teams. And now they're going up against the Boston Celtics, who are trying to win 7 or 8 games in a row right now.
Yeah, but so correct me if I'm wrong, though, in thinking this. The one thing we know about Covington coming in is he can shoot.
Yeah.
But the bigger test
is going to be. And he's not afraid to take the big shot right now, it looks like.
Well, and he's got confidence. Yeah. And we also know as an individual on-ball defender, he's above average. But the bigger question is going to be he's 6'9". So they're going to rely on him to do things he's not used to doing because they don't have anybody else 6'9 that they trust to play in the rotation.
Ooh, I don't know. I think that they, you know, it's almost what we joke about a lot with Matt Bullard feeding us the, James Harden's a great low post defender. I think maybe the Rockets finally believed that. And so they're like, yeah, James can guard people in the post. PJ's fine in the post. I think that they don't care. And then what I heard Mike D'Antoni say is, we're good with it because we're such a good team when it's time to switch. So we don't mind if James is guarding a shooting guard and their bigs, you know, set to pick. We just have James switch and guard the big, and we're good with that. And that's, I believe, the Rockets' philosophy is everybody switch. You guard anybody.
No, I mean, Mike D'Antoni mentioned in the last game that he kind of, like, Covington kind of failed to switch, and that's something that he's getting used to in terms of the system. So he's a veteran, so he's going to be able to – he's not going to be scared to take the big shots, and he's not going to be scared to play defense because he's a veteran. He knows what he needs to do. It's just a matter of him getting acclimated to the offense and the defense as quick. Like, the only thing I saw in terms of defense, the effort was there. He just didn't know where to be in certain possessions.
I saw you tweet about that. Yeah.
But here's the other thing, though, guys. I think Harden and PJ are better low post defenders because they have so much lower leg stability. They got sand in their shorts. They're going to make sure they hold their ground. But when you're asking Robert Covington from possession to possession, a few possessions, he can go down there. But 6'9", but being as slight a build as he is, and Nick, you've said it, he's more ripped up than he is physically strong. I think the wear and tear and the inexperience is going to show if you try and consistently put him on a bigger low post guy from you. I mean, take a look at the Western Conference. There's not another playoff team in the Western Conference where you can't say there's one guy where you go, he's a big 7-footer that, or a big man that they put on the block that's going to score that you're going to have problems with.
Clippers don't really have that guy.
They got two. They got Zubats and they got a Montrezl Harrell who might not be 7-foot, but he can do both. He's athletic and springy around the basket, but boy, he can put his butt to the basket too.
Yeah, but I think you're talking specifically AD style big man, and I don't know that the Clippers, they're the one team that I think the Rockets look at and go, all right, well, we're not scared of their size.
I don't know. Okay. They can throw multiple 7-footers at you.
Montrezl Harrell is athletic. I get it. But yeah, and well, okay. And so could the Rockets. They could run out Tyson Chandler. So not just the fact that they're big, it's got to be
Clippers
a quality bigs big
can
man.
Play.
Okay. I'm excluding Montrezl Harrell from their bigs because to me, what is he? 6'10? 6'9?
Around there.
Maybe 6'9? I mean, okay. So yeah, Covington and Montrezl Harrell. I'm fine with that because they're both the same height.
But I'm saying when you start getting
into... I'm talking
into,
legit big men that are...
We just saw Gobert.
Good.
Right?
Yeah.
You know, you mentioned Anthony Davis as well as Dwight Howard, as well as...
Jokic.
They can throw JaVale McGee at you if they have to with the Lakers. So they've got all the size that they need. Yeah, and you've got, you know, Nurkic and Jokic. Nurkic obviously coming back for Portland, but he's going to be back, they're saying. Jokic with Denver, another big man. So in Minnesota's got Karl Anthony Towns. They're out of it now, but you're going to have to, you know, if you play them going in, getting ready for the playoffs, that's something they got to prepare for too. Most every other team has that one dominant big man that can go on the low block and get you buckets. And the Rockets are going to have to deal with that. And then when you get in the playoffs, that's the first thing a coaching staff is going to say is, well, we know one way we can get an advantage where we can get buckets and they're going to have problems, and that's going down on the low block.
I would say the upper echelon. Those first four teams in the West for sure. But, I mean, are you worried about Adams going off on the Thunder? I mean,
he's big and strong, and he's going to bully his way to the basket.
I tell you what, if I was the Rockets, I would love for Adams to be the man that beat you. Oh, I would play that game all day long.
But you're missing the point.
I absolutely
I'm not saying
would.
That that's the guy that's going to beat you. I'm saying that's a guy that can get effective baskets for you. We all know Chris Paul and Schroeder and Gallinari are going to be guys that are going to be the guys to take the big shots to beat you if that comes down to that. But you can't discount the fact there are going to be times in the game where they can go and physically take advantage of you on the low block.
You know one thing that's weird that I think that – and I don't know that this has been said, and maybe it has. I just haven't seen it. But I was thinking about this the other day, watching the Rockets play this small ball lineup and watching them defend. And I think that they may feel like they have figured something out when it comes to defending big men in the post, in that at some point, regardless of why, most big men bring the ball down low. And you'll watch the Rockets – that's when they're swiping at the ball on these big men. And I think that they've really – I mean, James specifically has gotten really good at it. And I think that's why his defensive numbers in the post look so good, is he's become adept at swiping at the ball and getting the ball loose from a big man, causing a turnover, getting a steal. And I think that they're like, hey, you know what? If we can consistently do that, what's the difference if it's a block shot or a steal? A turnover is a turnover if it's in the low post. So I think that they're like, all right, that's fine. You know what we'll do? We'll play the ball below the waist and not above it.
I mean, the thing is I go back, like tonight's going to be a good test for them. Because Boston has a few bigs, Enes Kanter's one that doesn't really play defense, but he can offensively.
Mm-hmm.
It depends on the skill level when you mention bringing the ball down low of the big you're playing. Anthony Davis rarely, unless he puts it on the floor, is going to put that ball down low once he gets it. But the more inexperienced, you mentioned a Montrezl Harrell. He might be a guy that might fall into that trap. But I think you also get in foul trouble that way when you're reaching a lot, especially depending on the officiating, and we know how inconsistent that can be. Boston, to me, is a team that could be the Rockets should look at in a lot of ways as finding a team that could play ideally the way they want to play, because they have a lot of young guys that are deep at the 1-2-3 position that give them the ability to play small, but they still have the right mix that if they have to, they have bigs that they can bring in a Tice or a Cantor or guys like that that can help them if they play against a bigger team. I think if Daryl had his druthers, he'd still want one or two 6'10 above guys that he could count on, even if it's in short spurts, to try and do something to help the team.
Well, I was looking, Cantor 6'10, Tice 6'8.
I think he's bigger than that.
I'm looking at his player profile on ESPN, 6'8, 245.
It depends on who's honest when they measure the guys and if they're in their gym shoes or not.
Barkley, I think it's a big difference from 6'8 to a 7-footer.
On both sides of the equation.
Yeah.
They used to list Dream as 7 foot and he was 6'10. Well,
Cantor 6'10, so I mean that was Capella's size. If you think that Cantor is the guy that could exploit you, Robert Covington is at 6'9". Okay. I would be good. I mean, we're talking 1 inch in basketball
terms. I think
the other
thing that they missed, though, Nick,
I'm not worried about
that. And this is
that.
Something that you were a big advocate of. We're talking defense. They themselves are going to miss Clint's ability to run the floor. He got so many easy baskets because there's no big man in the league that could stick in his back pocket and stay with him when he decided to run in transition.
You don't think that that if Covington is the replacement for that, that he's not they're better?
He's not a big.
Yeah, but he's still running the floor.
You think they're going to have a big man of that size on him? They're going to have him guard PJ.
No, I'm saying whoever, yeah, but that's it, just it. All those guys now. The Rockets are going to be faster than anybody with a big man in transition, regardless if Capella's on the floor or not.
Okay, we'll see.
Probably even faster now.
All right, we'll see. That's the first hour of the show. We've got 2 hours still to go, so we can get more into Rockets basketball. We can talk about other things. If you want to join us, 713-780-3776, HRNP listener line. Call, text, hit us on Twitter. Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
I said, empty your mind. Be formless, shapeless, like water.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5, and we proudly hydrate with C-Force Water.